Warren and Pickett County win wild overtime affairs. Upperman advances to the region championship, and DeKalb and Clark Range both take a look at their seasons now that they are over. The Warren County Pioneers won a wild overtime affair over East Hamilton to clinch a spot in the region championship. It was a sight that head coach Chris Sullen says he's never seen anything like it.
I've described it in many different ways to many different people this morning, but I guess the best way to word is I can't explain it because I don't know what I saw because I've never saw it before. And I think a lot of people are the same way. I've had coaches that seen some of the video and highlights, and they're saying the same thing. I mean, the kid, as a coach, you understand you're down 10 in that situation. I think we got down 7 after his first three, but you know you're only going to get a certain amount of possessions, and if you miss any of those shots, you're probably going to have to foul and do some things that's going to put you behind the eight ball. He just kept hitting shot after shot after shot. He hit 6 threes in a row. I mean, the last one to tie it, he's off balance going to the right. He basically splits 2 defenders kind of in midair. It's unexplainable. It's not just one shot. It was just shot after shot after shot. And like he told me when he tied the game and there was a timeout called, he and I, we all have a great relationship, but he looked me square and I said, "Coach, you better be glad that I don't play against you because I'd beat you every time too." I mean, he's just got that gene in him. And East Hamilton, who's got a really good basketball team. And honestly, when you look at it, they didn't do a whole lot of stuff wrong late in that ball game. I mean, he was just flat out a monster in the last 2 to 3 minutes of that game.
You know, Coach, I think that the best thing that's come out of all of this, besides you guys winning, getting a spot in the region championship, earning a sub-state berth, is the story that's come out of the East Hamilton player that started to talk a little bit of trash to CJ, and I think that at that point, that's someone who doesn't know CJ, and like you've told me, he loves being told he can't do stuff. I think that that was a lesson served. Don't talk trash to him because he went off for what ended up being a legendary performance.
They had 21 in the fourth quarter. I think they had 29 in the fourth quarter in overtime, and I think that, hey, and that's just guys being, you know, there's gamesmanship. I mean, that's high school basketball players, but when one of those young men, from my understanding, told him that he wasn't Mr. Basketball and this wasn't football. and I've heard him do it in practice because he's always trying to get himself up. He's always trying to compete with guys in practice. Anytime he kind of makes that comment, "All right, bet," he says it a lot, which basically means let's put our cards on the table and see where we're at. And if you noticed in the fourth quarter, there's a great shot of him smiling at the free throw line.
Yep.
And he's smiling at that young man, kind of saying, "I don't think you should have done that." I heard a guy last week say, "Just don't poke the bear." And we don't know that's happened during the game, but after the game, when you're being told that by players and some others, it just makes sense. He's just that guy. I'll tell anybody, the legend grows, and also the amount of the competitiveness that kid has, you can't teach it. We don't coach it. We're just lucky enough to have him in our locker room.
So, Coach, tell me now, looking at the team aspect, tell me, how exciting is it to think that not only do you get to play for a region championship on Thursday, you now also get to play in a sub-state game. You guys are potentially one win away from being in Murfreesboro competing for a state title.
That's what these 4 seniors have said all day, ever since that they got in the program. They wanted to get to that level. That was the level they wanted to get to. I mean, it's an awesome feeling just being around these young men. They went through a lot of adversity last night. I mean, I think we went over a lot of scouting information, a lot of things in the last 24 to 40 hours. But you never think that your starting 2 guard is going to – Dante goes down in the first 2 minutes with an injury. And then Caden Rutledge is going to get 3 fouls in the first quarter, and you've got to go as deep in the bench. Not in that game. You just don't – that's not going through your mind as a basketball coach. And our bench did a great job. And they've just kind of bonded together in the last, you know, the last 24 months. I mean, they're playing really good basketball because they're playing some winning basketball. They understand – I heard some of our role players say it last night, that they've kind of been – coached and taught not to do too much, and I thought that they did a good job.
The Pioneers will go on the road on Thursday to take on the top seed from the other district, Cleveland. Until then, that was Warren County Pioneers head coach, Chris Sullins. Coach, thanks for joining us tonight. The DeKalb County Tigers increased their win total from 7 last season to 10 this past year. A level of improvement head coach John Sanders says he's pleased with.
Yeah, well, you know, I felt like we competed a lot better this year. Every game, with the exception of a game or two, you know, we were a lot more competitive. I feel like, you know, our fans and the people that were able to come to the games enjoyed watching us more. And the kids played really hard. You know, defensively, we were looking at our averages the other day. You know, we averaged giving up 55 a game, so that was pretty close to what our goal was. You know, those are some bright spots for sure this year. You know, just overall, we were a lot more competitive than what we have been in the past 2 years.
What do you think you can attribute that to? Is it just kind of guys getting a little bit more comfortable under you? Is it just better effort? What do you think you can attribute that to?
Yeah, I think, you know, a combination of both of those things. I think it's the younger guys, the guys that were freshmen, sophomores, whenever I first took over, kind of, you know, now they're kind of getting used to what we're trying to do. And they, I mean, those kids play extremely hard. They work hard. You know, they've been good kids to coach. You know, they're hungry they want to win, and they, you know, they want to compete, be successful. So, I mean, I think just a combination of all those things, has really helped, you know, kind of see the program turning in a different direction.
Talk about the senior class you had this year, Coach, because I feel like you mentioned, obviously, the big improvements from last year to now. How big of an impact did this senior class make on that? Because I know guys like Luke and Evan, those guys had to have laid a great foundation for the program moving forward, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, Luke, just his leadership and effort on the defensive end, and then his ability to help us handle the ball there the second half of the year when we kind of moved. Switched his role, you know, Luke, the last 3 years has been a great kid to coach. He gives you 100% of everything he's got all the time, and he's willing to do whatever it takes for the team to be successful. And even if that means, you know, him having to waste all his energy playing defense on the other team's best player or handling the ball more and not getting to shoot it as much, you know, he just wants to do whatever's best for the team. And, when you have guys like that in leadership roles, I think it really helps your team overall just become a lot better. And, you know, nobody else has an excuse why they can't, you know, be more like that guy. And, you know, talking about Evan, his progression from last year to this year, well, and really the last 3 years, he's gotten better every year. And this year was just a lot more consistent. Scoring the basketball on the offensive end, he helped us tremendously, just giving us a presence inside, forcing teams to have to guard him, and you know, opening up shots for guys around the perimeter. You know, we were very happy with what he brought to our team this year on both ends of the floor. We'll miss him big time next year. Size wise, we won't be as big, but I feel like we'll be pretty quick, hopefully. And then Aiden Curtis, he was a senior. This is the first year he played. You know, he's a big kid. Didn't get to play a whole lot, but he understood his role whenever we talked to him last year, whenever he tried out. And, you know, we told him we were going to give him a chance, but he may not get any playing time or much playing time at all. And he worked his tail off, man, to try to get to where he could play. And if he couldn't play, he could at least help us in practice. So I'm really proud of all three of those guys.
One player that I feel like really came on strong for you guys near the end of the year was Stetson Agee. And I think that he's kind of a good depiction of what you get to bring back next year, because you do get to bring back a healthy part of your core next year with guys like him, Elisha, Jordan Young. You get to bring back a healthy part of your production. What kind of improvements do you want to see those guys make?
Yeah, you know, I thought Stetson really came on, gave us a consistent scoring threat off the bench, and then just overall good play off the bench. You know, he was did a really good job. I thought he just got a lot better as the year went on. His confidence grew. You could really tell that.
Again, that was DeKalb County Tigers head coach, John Sanders. Coach, thank you for being with us tonight. The Pickett County Bobcats won a thrilling overtime game of their own on Tuesday over Monterey, something head coach Joseph Aminette says is a testament to how sudden a season can end in the postseason.
Absolutely. You know, I've always said there are two seasons. There's the regular season, and then there's the postseason. And the thing that's beautiful about tournament play is everybody's record's wiped out, and you get to start 0-0, and that's the reason that you'll see upsets. And that's the magic of the tournaments, and that's what makes it special, and that's what makes it so entertaining.
So, Coach, talk about the ending of regulation last night, because I think a lot of people have heard by now that weren't there about kind of how you guys were able to get the game tied and get into overtime. So kind of take me through the last couple of possessions, how you guys were able to get back into the game and get to overtime to begin with.
You know, it was a back-and-forth game. We weren't having our best offensive night. Some of our players weren't. They were playing really well. And, you know, we got down to with about 10 seconds to go, we had to foul quick. So we fouled one of their players, one of their post players, with 10 seconds to go in the full court. And which they were in the 1-1, and they were at the free throw line with 10 seconds to go, up 5. They missed the front end of the 1-1, and I told us when we went to the line to get the ball to Zach, and he knew to take either a quick 3 or get all the way to the rim. So they missed it. Zach got it. They dribbled up. He hit a 3-pointer for us, and we had one timeout left I'd saved. So we were able to get a timeout. There were 3 seconds. I believe there were between 3 and 4 seconds left after he made that shot. We got a timeout. We got in our defense, and I told the referees that we were going to try to get a jump ball. We weren't going to try to foul because the possession was ours. We were down 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tried to get the jump ball. Let's say there were probably 5 seconds. We tried to get the jump ball. Didn't happen, so we fouled real quick. So we fouled with 3 seconds to go. And I had told as we were going back up the court, we've got a play that we practiced for 4 years and never had an opportunity to run it besides in practice. And our guys knew the time and score, and it was a 2-point game. So and then I had told Zach and Will, you know, the Haley Johnson shot has been, you can't be on social media and not seen it.
Yeah.
So we had talked about that. I thought that they would, that had been so talked about that if we could get it to 3, they might foul us. So we got lucky again. Monterey missed the front end of a 2-shot foul because we had 10 fouls. And on that second shot, I told him to make sure and throw it into Zach because he's our best free throw shooter. He shoots about 90% from the free throw line. So they made the second one. They throw it into Zach, and as he takes off, they foul with 1.8 seconds to go intentionally, so we don't, you know, get a shot like the Johnson girl got from York.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the free throw line, and Zach stuck the first one, and then on the second one we ran our play, and he missed it just perfectly and just soft enough that Slay Copeland made a huge play and stuck it, and we tied the game as the buzzer went off. And then we were able to hold on and make some free throws late, win it in overtime. Just, for us, just a real exciting way to win. And for a team like Monterey, just a terrible way to lose. And, I guess the Lord was watching out for us and gave us a little help. You got to be real lucky to win games like that. You run a play like that, it might work 1 in 100 times. You got to have the right guy shooting the free throw, the right guy lined up, the right people blocking out. Everything's just got to go right, and it did for us last night on that play.
Coach, you now find yourself in the region championship, and you've got a very, very familiar opponent facing you down again. Tell me, I feel like this team's confidence has got to be pretty high right now because, you mean, I know that everybody remembers how the district championship ended, but you guys had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter in the game, had Clay on the ropes. I feel like you guys know they can beat this team.
Yeah, we do. It's a, you know, it's an exciting time for us to be in a regional championship game and playing a very talented Clay County team.
The Pickett County Bobcats will take on Clay County on Thursday for the region championship. That was Pickett County head coach Joseph Aminette. The Clark Range Buffaloes were just like every other team across the state this year in the fact that they had to start late. Despite that, head coach Shane Monday says he's pleased with how his players improved over the course of the season.
Well, when, you know, like we talked about earlier, when we started, we got started late, as far as myself, then coming to the high school, and, of course, the COVID and all that affects everybody that we've talked about all year. But after we got going, and, you know, the first games that we played and the first part of practice, you know, it was all just like preseason camp stuff, just trying to get, you know, the boys to get to know me good and the same for me with them. But anyhow, as we, you know, progress, I feel like towards the end of the year that we did make some improvements in things. I feel like we have, you know, still have a ways to go with the underclassmen that we'll have next coming in next year. But, you know, things far as the ability to stay in ball games, the ability to adjust, I felt like we got better at that toward the end, and I felt good about that.
For those who might be more casual observers, because I think that, you know, coaches and people that follow the game closely understand kind of how COVID impacted the start of the year, whereas you weren't able to get a real camp in, you couldn't do summer ball, AAU, any of that. How much of a benefit will that be this summer if that all is, you know, hopefully able to go on?
Well, you know, we get, you know, if everything goes well and everything gets released, you know, where we can do things this spring. I'm really looking forward to, you know, spring practice will really help. Getting able to go to camps during the summer, the 2 weeks that we get for that, that's going to be a big thing. That way I can, you know, all coaches look, you know, when you go to camp, you're not looking, you know, to win. You're looking to see what your personnel can do and different situations with different personnel, different times. You know, you go into camp games, you know, for the, you know, looking to play the best you can. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you're looking to see what position and different things that you can do through the year coming. So that's going to be a great plus, you know, to be able to be with the boys and to see in what's coming in and what we can do to adjust what we didn't do this past year.
Coach, talk about the seniors that obviously that'll be moving on from this year's team, because I know that every time we spoke, I feel like you've spoken really highly of them. Talk about the bond you have with them and what they meant to this program.
Well, you know, after our first district loss, you know, in the first game of the district loss to Monterey, you know, it's just a hard time. You don't know, you know, it's just the season's over, your seniors are going to be gone. But, you know, I talked to them, and, you know, and I told them, I said, just because the season's over, that doesn't mean I'll still do whatever I can for you to help you to finish out the school year, to when you get out of school, to go to whatever you choose to do. You know, I want them to know, and I feel like they do, that if they need me to help them in any situation, any life situation, I'm there for them. Because I really thought a lot of these guys, and, you know, just because our season ended, that don't mean I've kicked them out and we've cleared their locker out and they don't mean anything anymore. They're still part of the program. They're still part of my life, and I want to be a part of their life even, you know, in the years to come, hopefully.
You know, Coach, I feel like there's an important dialogue that needs to be had there, because I feel like especially when fans and students get into games, I know there's a lot of heckling, especially in rivalries and stuff like that. Ultimately, do we forget sometimes, though, that these are kids?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I know sometimes you get wrapped up in a moment, wrapped up in the situations, but just for an example, when my son graduated a few years ago, and he's a junior at Tech this year, and the guys that he played against, and the guys that he battled against, the guys that fouled him hard and he fouled them hard, and just different things. Now they're playing intramural ball together. They're doing all the things, you know. And when you get out of high school, I mean, you know, that's over. And you know, that's what's so great about high school athletics, and especially with the student athletes. When they get out, the rivalries that they had, when they get together, they forget all about that. They start playing together, start doing things together. So, you know, high school sports is very, very important, I believe, just for the students, even after they get out of school, the bonds that they have. When once they were, you know, just maybe bitter rivalries, now they're bonding and they're playing doing things together. So that's a great thing about being a student athlete.
Again, that is Clark Range Buffalo's head coach, Shane Monday. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight. The York Dragons improved from their previous meeting with Watertown by eliminating them on Tuesday by a final score of 51-47. A game where head coach Roy Whited says he saw an improved mental toughness from his guys.
Well, I really, down the stretch, and they are, Watertown is a very good basketball team, first of all. Very athletic, well coached. And when they defeated us at Watertown, you know, we kind of melted down the stretch and made a lot of mental mistakes that gave them the opportunity. Last night we were in a similar situation, and this time we were much more mentally and physically tough down the stretch and able to handle a lead. We got a big lead early. They came back. You know, they play extremely hard and, like I said, very talented team. But, you know, I was really proud of our guys, the way that they showed mental toughness and being able to finish.
We'll get to your guys who were leading scorers in just a second, but one thing I wanted to bring up with you was I've noticed over the past couple games how Nick Smith's been able to make an impact without having to score the ball recently. You know, I think I know he's probably not scoring the ball at the rate he would like to, but you guys are still finding ways to win, and I know a lot of that is him as a distributor, him being a good defender, and I know that's just more of a testament to the kind of player he is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He is such an unselfish player, and you know, against Bledsoe in the first round of the region, you know, he didn't score that many points, but he had 14 assists. And, you know, he is getting the ball to players in scoring positions in spots that they can be successful in. And, you know, he's just sharing the ball. He's an unselfish young man in all areas of his life, and especially on the court.
Looking at last night's game in particular, I know that Bryson and Riley had big games. What did you like most about what those two gave you? I know they both kind of give you different things offensively. What did you like about their performances last night?
Bryson is a freshman, of course, and, you know, he and Miles Lefeu have really grown a lot this year. And he's a scorer. He's a finisher and a slasher, and he gives us that X factor when teams are good defensively, just as Watertown was. He's able to find ways to get the ball in the basket, and I really, really like that, and it's necessary. Riley is big and strong, and when we can get him the ball, and they made it difficult for us to get him the ball, but when we can get him the ball down low, he's very difficult to stop.
So now you guys have a region championship matchup against Upperman on Thursday. And I know, I mean, obviously this is a team you've seen now. This will be the fourth time you've played them. What do you think you can take from the first three meetings to apply to this and maybe come out with a win?
Well, you know, the last time in the district championship, we didn't play well, and they had a lot to do with that. But I don't think, from a coaching standpoint, adjustments were made that needed to be made during the game. And hopefully those things are corrected, and we will be able, you know, to play much better as we did against them the first two games that we played them. They're, of course, a senior-dominated team that is very experienced, very good, play so well together. And, you know, Bobby does a great job coaching them. And so, you know, we match up well, but it is a difference between youth, where you got freshmen versus seniors, you know, and our guys just have to play above what their grade level and what their ability level is for us to have a chance. And we do have a chance. We know that. We've beaten them on their floor once and took them to double overtime at our place. And so we understand that we have the ability. It's a matter of us going out and executing.
Again, the Dragons will meet the Upperman Bees in Baxter on Thursday for the region championship, and it'll be the fourth time this year these two teams have played each other. York won the first one, while the Bees have won the last two. That was York Dragons head coach, Roy Whited. The Stone Memorial Panthers didn't end their season the way they wanted to this year, but that doesn't change the fact that head coach Neil Capps says he's just happy that his players got a full season in.
Well, you know, the one thing I think everybody, if you made it through the season this year as a coach, as a team, and got to the finish line, that's a success there with all the COVID craziness and, you know, all the hoops we had to jump through. And people really wanted to play sports this school year because they were willing to sacrifice so much, you know, and like you said, get there early, not sure, get online, have to buy tickets online. So I'm just thankful that our guys were patient. We had, you know, like me, everybody else, we had games canceled. We had games rescheduled. We had games canceled, rescheduled, you know, and just to stay focused. And that's what I asked them at the beginning of the year, to stay flexible and stay focused. And they did that. We had our ups and downs. We played a very tough schedule. We played a lot of teams that are still playing right now, you know, so that was, you know, we had a good group of seniors, large group of seniors that really competed, that went out and played hard each night and tried to compete, and just good kids. And you know, maybe our record wasn't the best record, but it, you know, we had a really good group of young men. I never had to worry about headaches off the floor. And it was just fun coming in every day and then working with a group of guys that really tried hard and tried to be coachable and just tried to apply it on the floor.
Coach, this group of seniors that you mentioned, it's one that I hope when people look back, give this group the recognition they deserve, because I look at Jack Eldridge and he was, you know, you've said many times, a second coach on the floor. I look at Will Hecker. You talked about how hard he worked on and off the floor. Guys like Zach Boyd, Chris Coudrier, how much work they've put in. Can you put into words just kind of how proud you are of this senior class and what they meant to you?
Yeah, this is a group that come in when they got here as freshmen. There was a lot of really good players in front of them, so they had to sit behind a lot of guys, except for Jack. Jack got a lot of playing time early. I think he wound up starting his second game of his career and never came out of the starting lineup again. You know, the guys had to play behind a lot of really good players with Justin Hedrick and Brett Newcomb. So they had to learn from these guys. And then when they got their chance, you know, they stepped up. When Zach Boyd came in, he was more of a guard. And by the time he was done, he was more back to the basket, posting up, just doing what he had to do for his team. And Chris Coudrier, same way. Chris liked to stay out behind the arc some, and we really encouraged him and worked with him on staying around the rim because he's a big kid, you know, 6'5", 215, and the ability to put it on the floor, land on two strong. And then Caleb McCoy having to deal with what he had to deal with for two straight years with knee leg problems and coming back from that. And you know, it's hard. And anybody that thinks it's easy to take 2 years off of anything and then come back for your last year, I appreciate him and sticking with it and coming and fighting through it and got better each game. And then Riley Day, just a big, strong kid and great attitude and worked hard. Riley, he had his ups and downs injury-wise as well. I mean, breaking bones in football to start the year out and then coming back late with that. And you know, last year with us, when he came out, first game he played with us after football, he hurt his elbow really bad, hyperextended elbow really bad, had to sit out for a long time, and just stuck with it and hung in there. So I'm just proud of all these guys. Like I said, Will and Jack usually are the headliner of that group. But I'm just tickled with all six of these young men. And, you know, we had a seventh with Andre Flores, who he tore his ACL in football season and never, you know, obviously couldn't come back for that. So he would have been our seventh senior. So I'm just a good group of young men, a good quality group of young men that are going to go out and be successful young men, successful men. My hope for them, as I told them after the game on Saturday night, was that my prayer for them was that they grow up to be better husbands and fathers and men of integrity, because that'll carry them away further down the road in life than if they can make a layup or make a three.
Again, that was Stone Memorial Panthers head coach Neil Capps. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight. The Upperman Bees took down Livingston Academy on Tuesday, and head coach Bobby McWilliams says he was most pleased with the defense his guys played on Matthew Sells.
Probably our biggest positives that I took away from that game, and I thought our kids were really poised, you know, especially early in the game when it was slow tempo and we didn't become discouraged and we just kept doing our deal and just, you know, I thought we were locked in and ready to play.
I feel like it's games like this where, you know, it's a big crowd, it's loud, it's a really, really good atmosphere, where it's games like this where a team's experience really shows through, and I feel like that really happened last night, especially when the lead got cut down to 5 in the fourth. Talk about your team's composure there in the fourth where Livingston made their run and your guys kind of just withstood it and ended up closing the game out.
Sure, I think that, you know, no doubt, I think that helped us. You know, these guys have been in some really good games, really tight games over the course of their career, and no doubt they were able to draw on that experience last night when we needed it, and we were able to eventually hold them off and get the win.
I feel like Colin Gore was a huge part of that in the sense that, you know, Matthew Sells, you know, scores 13 in the fourth, and he did it all very early, but it feels like especially in the latter half of that quarter, Colin did a really good job of making his life difficult, forcing tough shots, and I feel like that's just what you would expect out of your senior point guard.
Absolutely. You know, we switched Colin off on him there late in the third, I think it was. And he's worked really hard to become a better defender and try to learn on, you know, how to play and since he's been here, and he's really became a really good defender. People he's so good on the offensive end, they don't really understand how good he can be defensively, and he showed it last night. I thought he played really, really good. You know, Matthew's not an easy matchup for anyone in a high school basketball game. He's so hard to keep the ball away from, and then when he gets it, he's so hard to defend. But, you know, I thought Colin and Jackson all night long, those two were very good defensively.
And, you know, you speak defensively as well. I think that the other big part was that, you know, Matthew Sells, again, ends up with 19. And you said it, he's one of the toughest kids to stop, and he's just a really good scorer. But your team did a really good job of limiting everybody else. There wasn't anybody else that had more than 6 points, I think it was. How important was that in the game plan of, you know, Matthew Sells is going to knock down some tough shots, but we can't let anybody else beat us as well?
Well, I think in that situation you had to. You know, you can't he's going to get his, and you just hope he doesn't, you know, have a repeat of the night before or the game before. You know, but, you know, I thought that defensively, like I said, our rotations were good. We rotated good out of our double teams. We rotated good out of our help. We helped each other when we did go help. So that was just huge. But I just thought all the way around, you know, those guys that were in the game and whoever was in at that time were locked in. They understood what we were trying to get done defensively, and it paid off for us.
Coach, we've seen a lot of postseason games in the last couple of weeks, and a lot of them, and almost all of them, have had just fantastic, fantastic crowds. Talk about the atmosphere last night, though, because that was probably the best one I've seen so far. Where it was a lot of your fans, a lot of Livingston fans. Everyone was loud. There were moments I feel like I couldn't hear myself think. How important is that in terms of getting the guys' energy, keeping that energy up? How important is that?
Obviously both teams probably played off that energy a little bit.
The Bees will host the York Institute Dragons on Thursday, just as they did a week ago in the district championship. Until then, that was Upperman head coach Bobby McWilliams. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight. The DeKalb County Lady Tigers finished the season 10-15 overall and will return 4 starters next season. Head coach Danny Fish says he wants to see improvements with regards to consistency for those players.
We had some good moments this year, and then, you know, had some other moments where we just felt like we came up a little short. You know, our expectations here is to win and to win in the tournament. And that's things that we've done the past couple of years. And it's kind of, for all the kids and our team, it's kind of we felt out of place the past week or so watching everybody else play and us not play. So, you know, I'm sure the team is evaluating, you know, their skills right now. And we're trying to take a little bit of a break before we get started on our spring stuff. But you know, I liked what we did this year for the most part. I mean, we were really extremely young, so we had to make up a lot of experience without, you know, camps and without this and without that. You know, I understand that other people were in that boat too, but, you know, the growth of our team was good. It just didn't show up in, you know, wins and losses for us this year.
When you look at players like Elevan Vrankin, Katie Griffith, and Madison Martin, where do you think the players like them, where do you think they grew the most this year?
Well, just experience, just being out there. I mean, especially for the two freshmen, and even, you know, Madison, she played behind Amy Caldwell, so she didn't get a lot of time last year or the year before, you know, just some JV time. I think the speed of the game and the length of the players is something that you have to go through. It's not something that we can say, hey, you know, it's going to be like this, and you know, kind of shrug it off, be like, okay, you know, I play AAU in the summer, yeah, but you're playing against 13-year-olds, not 17- and 18-year-olds. And so I think, you know, those experiences like that of learning on the fly against some really good teams, you know, AAA was stacked this year, and which it always is. And it'll get a little bit tougher next year with the new districting. And, you know, so I'm hoping that those experiences of doing well at times and then, you know, not doing well at times, we can all learn from that also. So I'm hoping that'll catapult them into, you know, being more comfortable in the uncomfortable next season, and we see a lot more growth from them in the future.
I feel like one advantage this team does have for it going forward is that, at the very least, y'all do get to return a very, very healthy amount of your production from this year, next year. You'll get to obviously return the three we just mentioned. You'll bring back Katie Farrell for our senior year. I know that's a big positive for you moving forward.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about it all year, you know, that basically the core of this team will be together for 2 years. So we needed to learn a lot on the fly this year, you know, basically learn how to play with one another, because, I mean, we only returned one starter from, you know, last year. This year we'll be returning four. Also, you know, hopefully we'll be able to add Kennedy Agee to the group coming off an ACL injury, and that'll make us a little bit better. And we got some, you know, we got some younger players. I thought Zaria Lyons came on real good for us at the end of the year. So, I mean, we're looking at 6, 7, 8 depth rotation. And for us to be competitive, I think that you can only be as good as your bench is. So, yeah, I like some of those things that some of those role guys did at the end of the year. They're going to put a lot of pressure on those other kids to get better. And I think in the end game, it'll help us get better. But, you know, we're always going to lean on Katie Farrell, and, you know, she had another good year, and I expect her to have a great senior year, and, you know, everybody will be watching to see what she and what we are doing.
That was DeKalb County Lady Tigers head coach, Danny Fish.